Hannah as well for their beautiful job. Sometimes we got people doing things and it just sort of falls into a rut and we seem to forget to thank them for the hard work that they do. And I'd like to thank them. And Carol, you do a beautiful job. I appreciate that. And I got a gift today. Everybody smiling. Yep, you may have one of these already. But if not, I'll let you know that she's got a whole pack of them that she would love you to stop and see her and get one today. They are beautiful. The handiwork is just fantastic. Thank you, Dana. I appreciate that very, very much. Before I start my message, as I usually do, I'd like to go to the Lord with to prayer, and I ask that you go with me. Heavenly Father, as we now stop, pause, take a moment to reflect on your word, help us to be encouraged, enlightened. Help us to be reminded. Help us to find joy, security, love, acceptance. Help us to find what we're looking for, Father, a closer relationship to you. I ask that you use me, Father, to share your words and your wisdom. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Some of you may remember, before refrigerators, there was ice boxes. Anybody remember the ice box? I remember being really little and my aunt having one. And I remember the ice man come around and he would drop off a block of ice, you know, to put in there to keep things cold and refrigerated. Well, there was a foreman who worked at an ice house. He actually owned the ice house. And he had this beautiful gold watch that was hand-carved. And it was given to him by his great-grandfather, passed down through his family. He was in his ice house, and he dropped it on the floor. And it got mixed in with the sawdust, because they had sawdust, you know, and on top of the ice to keep it cold, and he searched for about half hour, 45 minutes, and couldn't stand the cold anymore, and he came out, and he was really distressed. He couldn't find his watch. So he told the workers, if you can find my watch, I will grant you one request, thinking that at this time, a guy would like a day off with pay. And he would gladly do that, and so they went in for half a day, and he broke and came out for lunch. And there was this little boy that was walking around the ice house and talking to anybody who would, let me go in, I can find it. I know I can find it. Just give me a chance, I can find it. And they all kind of blew him off. You know, what good can a kid do except freeze to death in the ice house? So when they broke for lunch, he snuck in the ice house. He got in and he closed the door. About 10 minutes later, he walked out the door holding up the watch. Look what I found! Look what I found! And everybody was amazed. And the foreman said, How did you do that when no one else could? We have men who spent years in the ice house and they couldn't find it. What did you do? He says, well, I went in and I shut the door. He said, I laid down on the sawdust. And I was very still and very, very quiet. He said, I heard the watch ticking, and I followed the sound, and I got the watch. The foreman said, well, I said I'd grant anybody a request if they could find my watch. What's your request? And he said, can I come every day and work in the ice house? My daddy used to. He got himself a job. You know, and I realized something. Sometimes we get so busy in our lives that we need to stop and be still. We need to turn off our cell phones, turn off our TVs, turn off our elect- electronics. Turn off our activities. Turn down our life and be still and be quiet and listen for God's quiet voice calling to us. And my challenge today is, hopefully, we can do that. But my challenge is, I want to talk to you about how God can use you today. Now, the scripture that was read, I know everybody's thinking, oh, another engagement message. This is going to be another message on engagement and evangelism, everything, because that's what was going on in the story. And no. The reason I had so much scripture read is because I want to talk about the people that God can use. Sometimes we don't realize the people that God can use because our eyes, we don't look as God looks. We don't see as God sees. We go and we see as man sees. Like the little boy who found the watch. No one could see anything except his age. And to them, his uselessness, not only his youthfulness. But he knew he could do something if he was only given a chance. And some of us feel the same way. There's things that we would love to do that we can't do because we don't get the chance. Like, before our story, you remember the cripple. He was crippled from a child, and he was sitting, and as the apostles walked by, he says, alms, alms, which means help. Can you help me? And I love their response. Silver and gold, we don't have. We don't have money. There's nothing we can do. But what we do have, we're willing to share with you. And when he reached up, again, if you read the story, as he reached up, thinking, you could see his mind was, they're going to give me something. And what did they give him? A hand up. And he stood up for the first time. And he was healed. They didn't have anything they could give except, here, let us help you. It's called the gift of helps. Let us help you. God brought about the miracle of healing him. They didn't. Let's get that straight, okay? It was God that did the healing. They were willing to share what they had. And so often, some of us, we have something we would like to share. It may not be of any great value to us, so we think. But we don't realize the great value that it may have on someone else that we can help. There's a time I remember sitting on a Sunday, and we were having, in Potterville, some of you probably remember this, in Potterville we used to have pizza Sundays, okay? Once a month we would have a Sunday, we would order pizza, and we would have it there at the building because we didn't have a kitchen or anything to have any kind of a real meal. We just had a table, so we'd have pizza. Well, there was this gentleman that sat outside. Unbeknownst to most of us that was there, and I'm raising my hand, okay, I didn't really notice him. I didn't see him sitting out across the parking lot at picnic table. And he had a bike without pedals because he only had one leg, and he used to push it like a little cart, and he would go from Charlotte to Potterville and back sometimes. Well, this young lady seen him and said, well, can I take my pizza and give it to that man out there? Man? What man? He's over there at the picnic table. Sure, if you want to. I'm thinking, you know, here's a guy, and from the looks of him, you know, he's probably not the friendliest guy there is. She walked over. Said, here, I'd like to give you something to eat, and I brought you some water and gave him some water. I don't know the full conversation. I wish I could give you word-by-word detail, okay, like what was said and what he said. And she just came back with a smile on her face. He's happy. He hasn't had anything to eat in 2 days. And I'm thinking, wow, here I'm supposed to be the preacher and I'm supposed to be the encourager of people to do things, to help, to give. And all she has is some pizza. She has no money. She barely got enough money to get back and forth to the church on Sunday with her kids. And she takes what was given to her and shared it with somebody else because she could see a need. You see, she had the gift. She could see there was a need that needed to be met. And some of us, some of you can see needs that need to be met. Maybe some Sunday morning you've walked in and saw someone standing kind of, you know, over in the corner, quiet. You look at them and they don't have that twinkle in their eye that they usually have on Sundays, you know? And you walk over and you don't say anything, you just give them a hug. And you walk away. And later, you'll find out, it may not be that day, it may be weeks or months later, that they'll say, do you remember when you came up to me and you gave me a hug on that Sunday? I was standing over, oh yeah, I remember that. Boy, I really needed that today, that day. I just was feeling so down and unloved. I just felt alone, and you came up and you gave me a hug, and you made me feel good. And you think to yourself, well, yeah, I thought you could use a little encouragement. Did that cost anything? No, and to us, you know, it's not really of any great value. But to that person, it was of fantastic, great value to them. Because someone acknowledged they were there. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only one that has down days, you know. I'm sure the rest of you are even keeled or you're really excited and you're up and you never really have a bad day, you know. Maybe I'm the only one. That's okay. I'll accept I have my bad days. If you didn't, maybe you don't understand. If you've had bad days, maybe you do understand. And that little hug, the little encouragement can make the difference of not only a better day, but a better week. Can turn your mind from being discouraged to being really excited again. Because someone noticed and they cared. Can you see how the apostles would have done that to the poor beggar that was there? He says, somebody acknowledges me. But they cared enough to give me what they had. Which to other people probably wasn't worth much. And maybe you have that something that somebody needs that only you can see, or may I say, sense it. The Holy Spirit moves you. Yeah, we talked about the Holy Spirit in Sunday school this morning. And if you missed Sunday school, you're lost. We talked about the difference of the type of gifts that the Holy Spirit has. And one of those that you can give us, you get a sense that you know there's a need. And you feel that need. The ones that I think that do that the best are children. Young people. Have you ever seen a child walk into a room and all of a sudden turn to someone you'd least expect him to turn to and go over and sit on their lap? They don't say anything. They just crawl up on the lap and sit there. And all of a sudden you see that person sitting there just kind of smile. Little child giving a little encouragement. You see, God don't only use people who are really mobile and get around and are really healthy and excited, but do you notice what happened If you read down through the story of what caused all the problem, the crippled man got up. And when he got up and he realized he was healed, he went around telling everybody what was going on. Look what happened to me. I don't know what they did, but they said what they had, they were willing to give to me, and they healed me in Jesus' name, and look, I'm up, I'm moving around, and he's causing a stir all over the place because he's so excited. What happened? God used a crippled person to share his love. God used someone who was infirm to share his love. Wow. We think because we're not real healthy or we're not really excited, we're as mobile as we used to be, that we're not any good for anything anymore except to sit and watch TV or read a book. Or as my kids used to say, vegetate. God says, no, I can use you. Will you be still and listen? Doesn't Scripture tell us to be still and know that I am God? Maybe we've not heard God talking because we're not still. Maybe we need to be still and listen to God's voice calling us, telling us what to do. Because it can use us. Have you ever been sitting and doing something and someone's name or someone's face will pop into your mind and you become concerned about them? And for no reason other that they're in your mind, you stop and you pray for them. Say, God, I don't know what's going on, but you've laid it on my heart and my mind. And if they have a need, watch over them, care for them, meet that need, Lord. If they're heading for trouble, be with them to walk through them with trouble. And if they're looking for a victory or a joy, be with them to bring out that victory and joy. But Lord, you brought them on my heart, and I just want to bring them before the throne. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands, and I'm serious. How many of you out there today are too old to pray? Gee, I don't see any hands. How are you? Then you're all admitting that you're young enough that if nothing else, you can pray for people. You don't think Bill Horton needs prayers? Marilyn needs prayers? The elders need prayers. The deacons need prayers. The members need prayers. The pianists need prayers. The instrumentalists need prayers. The technicians, the IT people need prayers. You don't think they need prayers every day? Let me ask you a question. Has someone ever walked up to you and said, I've been praying for you, and you didn't know they were praying for you? How did it make you feel? Did it put your week back into perspective where you could say, okay, yeah, I can see what happened now. Somebody was praying for me. And you think, wow, because someone lifted me to the throne of God, he was with me even more this week. He's the one that brought me through. He's the one that, and you can fill in the empty spot. And you're sitting here thinking, and all I did was pray. All I did was pray. That's all I did. What's the value of prayer, right? It's a few minutes of my time. Talking, what good does prayer do? What good does prayer do? Doesn't God tell us? Pray continually. Bill's scripture in Ephesians 5:15-17 tells us to walk as the wise, not as the unwise. As Christians, one of the things we're supposed to be doing is praying for one another, and hopefully for our family extended besides the body of Christ. He can use us. It's really funny, because as through the scriptures, you remember the religious leaders, the Sadducees, were upset at Peter and Paul. They were upset that they were stirring up people and talking in the name of Jesus. You remember that? Do you remember what they told them? Don't you go talking to anybody about Jesus anymore. Don't you be teaching in that name. God even used them. Because what did the apostles do? They went back and said, hey guys, let's pray that we're going to be bolder. We're going to do more of what we've been doing. Because that's what God wants us to do. See, God even used, I will say this, religious leaders. Who disagreed with what they were doing. Now, if you're a Christian, if you have not, you will run across people who are, quote, religious, that will disagree with you and not want to hear what you have to say because they disagree with you. I remember personally doing that with a youth minister that used to come over to teach my kids from the Kalkaska Church of Christ, Don Brown, if you remember Don Brown, for those that do. And every time he would leave, I'd get up and grab the Bible and say, now I'm going to teach you what Scripture really says, because I was raised Catholic. And I'd open the Bible and I'd stare at it and say, I can find what Don Brown's been saying. But what they taught me isn't here. And what is there is only half of what it really says. And because of Don Brown teaching my kids, I studied myself into becoming a Christian, trying to prove them wrong. But yet, I discouraged Don as much as I could without outright telling him, don't you come to my house anymore. He not only brought my children to Christ, but because of what he was doing, he brought myself and my wife to Christ. Now, you may not think that's a big deal. There's a part of my life I'm going to share with you. And I ask you, don't hold it against me, okay? At this time of my life, I was working in the oil field. And I looked like a biker. A leather jacket, slick back hair, because I was a biker, okay? I'll be honest. And I wasn't the friendliest looking guy. And I didn't sound very friendly either when Don would come around. Talking to Don Brown years later, I said, well, Don, why didn't you ever talk to me? He says, because, Bob, I was afraid of you. I said, you were afraid of me. Don Brown stands about like this, okay? I said, you were afraid of me. He says, yeah, I thought you were going to get up and punch my face off if I said anything to you, so I just didn't want to say anything. And I'm sitting here thinking, but you were brave enough to talk with my kids. And because of what you did, look what happened to me. Now, if you know Don Brown has a stuttering problem. And the more nervous he gets, the more he stutters. He used to try to preach on Sunday night at Kalkaska Church for the adults. I would pray for that man and pray that when he got done that he wouldn't walk out the door and never come back, because you could see the discouragement on his face. Because he couldn't say what he wanted to say because of his stuttering. I went down the basement one Sunday because he was the youth minister at the Kalkaska Church. I went down in the basement where all the kids were. And he was preaching during children's church. And I sat there for 20 minutes. And he never stuttered once. Never stuttered once. Talk about being taken aback. I can't believe it. There's this something wrong. And I said, Don, what's going on? He said, what do you mean? And I said, upstairs, you can't say five words without repeating three of them. I said, down here for 20 minutes, you never repeated one word. You just drew. How come you can do that with the kids and not with the adults? He looked at me and says, because kids don't intimidate me. And they like me. Don Brown taught great things to me. One of the things he taught me is never discourage someone because they're different than you are. Because if they want to serve God, encourage them to serve God because God has a place for them. We just need to encourage them to serve where they're called to serve. I'm an old staunch believer in every member ministry. Some of you may have heard that before, some of you may have not. What does that mean? I mean every member of the church should have a ministry they're involved in, that they're doing. It may be their own ministry, making crosses, encouraging, making dresses for missions, teaching Sunday school, working with kids, doing fellowship activities, being encouragers, being prayer warriors, being people who pray. Everybody should have a ministry. Because one of the things that God wants us to do is bloom where we're planted. And if we are here, we should be growing and blooming as God would have us grow and bloom. Because God can use us. God can use any one of us greater than we ever imagined in our lives. I've known people who wanted to preach on a Sunday. Didn't have the slightest idea what preaching was about. Someone came along, put their arm around their shoulder and said, come with me. We're going to work together. In a short amount of time, that person was up behind the pulpit preaching, doing a fantastic job. Because they wanted to serve, but someone was willing to help them serve. Do you want to serve, but you're not sure how? There's a lot of us you could come and see. We'll plug you in. We'll get you busy. Maybe you have an idea for a ministry that you'd like to see. And you're willing to jump in as long as you don't have to do it alone, if there's someone there to encourage you and help you walk through it. Don't be afraid, because you'll never know how much God can use you until you allow Him to use you. You don't know what God has called you to do until you stop and listen to God's calling on your life. Because first, if you're in Christ, you did stop and listen to God's calling on your life to come to Him. So I know you can listen. And you know you can listen because you heard that call. But maybe there's another call on your life. I remember people telling me, well, if God's calling me, I can't hear him. I remember a preacher telling me that his wife once said, God's calling you, but I don't hear him calling me. And she said, well, God dragged me screaming and kicking till I finally stopped long enough to listen to say, you know, he was calling both of us. Some of you may be sitting there and thinking, you know, Bob, that's fine and well, but you don't understand. I'm perfectly content where I'm at. I'm happy doing whatever it is I'm doing or not doing. You know what I got to tell you? You're not doing what God's called you to do. Christianity is an active faith. It is not a passive faith. He has called us to action. He has called us to be busy for His glory, for His honor. And it all starts so simply when we become Christians. Amen? Jesus said, I love you enough that I'm willing to die on the cross for you. I will die and pay the penalty for your sin so you do not have to pay that penalty because I love you that much. And if you want to accept the gift that I have to offer you, you come to me on my terms. My terms are easy. He says, do you believe that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God? Good, that's a good start. That's a good start. Do you believe that you need to turn your life around and follow me? Because that's what repentance really is turning your life from not following Christ to following Christ. That's as simple as I can make it. And if you're willing to follow me and you believe me, are you willing to confess as much, say as much as who I am? And are you willing to accept the gift by allowing yourself to be buried in the likeness of my death so you can rise in the likeness of my resurrection? We call that baptism, if you're wondering what I'm talking about. If you're willing to do that, that starts the great process that washes away your sins, that gives you the gift of eternal life that you can embrace, but it's not the last step, it is only the first step in your life. Because from that point on, when you come up, you are obedient to my teaching. So he says, if you love me, you will obey me. And you remember the Great Commission? You've heard me say probably almost every time I've preached, Matthew 28. Remember that one, kind of the bottom line, just before he says, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Do you remember what it says there? And teaching them everything that I have commanded you, and what he has commanded us is to grow in wisdom and in stature and in service for him. So we cannot be content not doing anything for him, sitting down. I've retired twice from ministry. Don't laugh. I may do it a third time. I don't know. I've done it twice. And each time I've retired, I realize something. And I thank God for Brother Bill Horton because he's the one that keeps reminding me. God ain't done with you yet. So it doesn't matter what you have done. God wants to know, what are you going to do for me now? It reminds me, in France, the Napoleon Bonaparte had a soldier brought before him. And his lieutenants and captain just praised this soldier for all the great things he had did and how he saved lives of other soldiers. He was an encouragement. Napoleon looked and said, "What have you done for me today?" We cannot stand on what we have done for God. We must move forward to do what God has called us to do. And it starts with us coming to Christ. If you haven't done that, I challenge you to take care of it now. Because God does not promise us a tomorrow here on this earth. I always say it's never too late till it's too late, but you never know when it's too late till it is too late. And if you are a Christian, I challenge you, find out where you're going to move forward. What are you going to do next for God? Because God wants to use you. Let's pray.